Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Matt Velasquez joining us. Great Midwest
Bank. Might have lasted longer than a year.
Hotline. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, Matt. Do we need to talk to Matt? Let's just ask Siri a bunch of questions.
No, Siri. I'm done with Siri.
Okay.
I got Siri to work. I'm not going to push my luck.
All right.
Hey, Matt, this Tobias Harris move, this is a really interesting move that happened. Have you had a chance to digest it at all, and what do you think of it?
You know, I think it's very obvious the Sixers are going all in on this year. I mean, I don't know how they're going to keep this team together in the future. Tobias Harris needs to get paid. Jimmy Butler needs to get paid. All that kind of stuff. But that's for future Elton Brand to figure out. Right now, he's got a really stacked-looking starting lineup of Simmons, Embiid, Butler, Harris, and J.J. Redick. I mean, those guys... Those guys can get you somewhere in the playoffs. I don't know what their bench is going to look like or how their depth is going to affect them in certain like playoff games. But when you have five frontline guys like that, I mean, they just became a much tougher team in the Eastern Conference.
We always hear from GMs and coaches that say, and team presidents that say they don't react to moves like this. But I got to think the Bucks are at least paying attention because – the Sixers, who I've just been looking at them as, you know, not really kind of an afterthought, but this does change things a little bit. Yeah, the depth concerns, but do the Bucks? Is there any part of you that thinks they're going to look at this and try to react two moves instead of going on whatever plan they had planned to this week?
No, I think they're gonna stay the course. I think John Horst is a pretty level-headed guy. Obviously, he sees what's going on here and sees the moves that Philly's making. You know, but at the same time, you know, he's trying to build a team that'll be successful for a long time. And, you know, there's currently a roadmap for the Bucks to have their talent and have their guys and have it be a kind of a sustained unit. You can see how they could, you know, they have the cap space to re-sign guys this summer or bring in new guys. And you say, okay, well, Philly might just be this year, but what about next year and the year after that? I mean, you're trying to make sure you can be consistently competitive. But, you know, I still wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks made some kind of move. I just don't know. I don't think it's going to be that kind of blockbuster. But, you know, if you can get better on the fringes, that's always good.
Would a blockbuster move be off the table, you think, for the Bucks?
It's unlikely. They just don't have the pieces.
Yeah.
You know, all their best players are on expiring contracts, and their young players aren't incredibly exciting. You might be able to convince a team on one or two guys and their potential, but you're not going to – I don't think you look at any of their young guys and say, oh, that guy's going to be an all-star or definitely should be an NBA starter or anything like that. And they don't have a pick to trade until 2024. So they kind of already made their move in clearing out cap space and using a first-round pick to do it. And so they kind of made the move for the future and hoping that the group they have now is good enough.
The concern, as we talked to Matt Velasquez here, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering the Bucks, is that I love this team. I love this core. I don't want them to break that up. The problem is there's a lot of these guys that are free agents next year, and the concern for some is that they do get offered a ton of money, and then the Bucks would then get nothing in return if they lost one of these guys. And Middleton, who all season we've been talking about him. Really, we've been talking about his next contract for like three seasons. A hypothetical, what do you think is the most likely situation? That the Bucks trade him to try to get something in return, that the Bucks sign him to a long-term deal, or that the Bucks lose him next offseason for nothing?
I think the most likely option is that they sign him to a long-term deal. They're not going to trade him. That's just pretty much ludicrous at this point. Because he just became a first-time All-Star. He's having a really good season. He's really close with Giannis. He fits really well with what they're doing. And you're not going to get anything close to his market value. if you trade him. So there's just no point in doing that. You know, in the summer, I think they sign him because, you know, worst comes to worst, you know, you still have him under contract and teams do value him. Like, you know, he got voted into the All-Star game by the coaches. Obviously, they respect what he can do. Players respect what he can do. And if you say, you know what, this contract is too big for us, it's not going to work out, we need something different, you can move him. You can trade him. And you can, he's still an asset, locked up on whatever deal they get him on. So, you know, I think that you can still have him in play if you need to improve via trade in the future. So I think that would be the way they want to go about it. And, you know, we'll just see how much it costs.
Do you think it'll take the max? I look at some of these other teams that are clearing room, and if, like, the Knicks or the Clippers or whoever doesn't get the guy they want, well, hey, there's an all-star sitting out there. Let's throw the max at him. Like that offseason that Mozgov and all those guys got, you know, $18, $19 million per. Will it take the max to retain Middleton, do you think? Or is there, like, a hometown discount situation brewing?
I mean, maybe not the five-year max. Maybe he'd do the four-year max or something close to that. I think just kind of, you know, reading the tea leaves and looking at the way that people have been talking about this, I think the Bucks are going to want to wrap this up quickly with him. They're not going to want him to have the opportunity to go and check things out and see what other teams might want to offer. If they think that he's part of the future, which many times they've said they believe he is and they want him to stay here, if you say those things, you can't come out of the gate and throw some low-ball offer at him. You need to come out and be strong with your offer and be, you know that he feels valued, and then you kind of go from there. But I think he, for everything I can tell, he seems like a priority for this summer, and it totally makes sense considering how valuable he is alongside Giannis.
This whole Thon Maker thing is kind of unusual, weird, I guess, in some sense. The other night, I think it was your piece. I read, was it Sunday morning? You were writing that Thon didn't play again. And you asked Budenholzer about it, and but Bud said he didn't want to disrespect the opponent at the time because Thon was too good to be playing in garbage time. That's how I read that. And also, that would lead me to believe that Bud is building up Thon, even though he's not playing him, for the trading deadline. That being said, I think Thon is going to be traded by the trading deadline tomorrow.
Yeah, I think if I had to guess what's going to happen with Thon, like, I feel like my gut tells me he's not going to be in Milwaukee past tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my gut. That's not based on anything.
You and I share the same gut.
You know, but
that's
scary. But, you know, you look at it, he sat out six games in a row. He had plenty of opportunities to play. You know, his agent said he'd prefer a trade, and you wonder if maybe the Bucks have been considering a trade for a while. Maybe the agent wanted to kind of get ahead of it and say, oh, well, we actually want to leave, not you sending us away, or anything like that. But, you know, it's tough, too, because, you know, Thon's very well-liked in the locker room. He's a good guy. He's not causing any problems. You know, this isn't like a type of situation where they're taking him out of, like, the pregame videos or anything like that. But I can't say, David. I mean, he wants to be here, but he's also probably the best trade asset they have. You know, he's on his rookie deal. He has the rest of this year and next year under contract. He's proven himself in the playoffs. You know, he can shoot the three. He's 7 feet tall. He's still young. Like, that's an asset. And so if the Bucks want to do something to improve themselves ahead of the trade deadline, the Thon Maker is going to have to be in that deal, or, you know, very likely need to be in that deal, because he moves the needle, at least more than, you know, DJ Wilson is nice and people in Milwaukee love him and he's come on really strong, but he doesn't have that same kind of, you know, proven value in the NBA that Thon Maker does. So, you know, I think they might move him, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he stayed. So it's just really a function of if they can find the right deal, then I could see how he would be involved in it.
What do you think best case scenario for the Bucks would be tomorrow? I think, like, if you move Thon, a lot of Bucks fans, me too, Chuck, would like Mirotić. All right, if the Pelicans are going to trade some people, he's on an expiring deal. But that's $12 million, $5.5 million, so that's $12.5 million, and the money doesn't match up there. The Bucks would have to throw somebody in, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how it would work. But what do you think, like, best-case scenario the Bucks could do tomorrow, and what do they need to do?
You know, I think somebody like, you know, a Mirotić or a Wayne Ellington in Miami, who hasn't been playing a lot, but he's a proven really high level three-point shooter off the bench. Dwayne Dedmon is someone who I think of as, like, I know that Bud likes his guys, and Dwayne Dedmon, played for him in Atlanta. He's a seven-footer, a little bit more sizable than Son. And I'm interested. So those guys could be good. Like, I don't know if I've scoured it as much as I need to, or kind of been creative in my thoughts as much as John Horst and company. But I'm just kind of interested to see what the timing is, because tomorrow is the day when Jason Smith and George Hill could be retraded by the Bucks in a deal with other people. As of today, I don't think they can be moved in tandem with anybody. They can't be part of a trade package. But tomorrow they can be. That restriction gets lifted. And Jason Smith hasn't really played at all. He has about $5.5 million on the books for this year, and he's expiring. So you can just throw him in as kind of salary filler for certain deals, and that could open up some things. Or George Hill, that's $19 million that if you need salaries to match, and he's basically expiring where he can get, he's only partially guaranteed for $1 million next year. So how many different combinations of trade does that open up, for next season for a team that might want to keep their cap room for next year? Definitely lots of intriguing things, and I think that, maybe if something happens, I would guess that it might be tomorrow, but got to be constantly vigilant for something today.
Did you say they can't make a trade today, but they can do it tomorrow before the trading deadline? Did I get that right?
If they include one of those players, when you acquire someone, you can't trade them with anyone else again for 2 months, and that restriction falls off tomorrow for Hill and Smith.
Okay,
so
I thought
if either of those guys are going to be in a trade, then you need to wait until tomorrow. But if you're trading a bunch of other guys or other guys not today, not with those guys, you can do it today.
It has nothing to do with the trading deadline. It just happens to fall on trading deadline day.
Right, and that's how they were very purposeful when they made that deal, that three-way deal with the Cavs and the Wizards. They wanted to get it through that day so that they could have this opportunity to retrade either one of those guys in the future if that came to pass.
Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find him, Matt_Velasquez on Twitter. Appreciate it, Matt. We will talk to you. I guess we'll talk to you tonight on the postgame show and on every postgame show, and we will talk to you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.